Turn to Isaiah chapter 30. This chapter is one of the woes going on in this particular book. I'm going to say something that I don't know if it shocked you or not, but the more I look at the Old Testament, the more I'm amazed at the goodness of God. Time after time after time, especially here in Isaiah, Jeremiah as well, just warning after warning after warning, but yet we still see the goodness of God waiting for them to repent and turn to Him. And let me just say, what a good God we serve. Amen. What a good God we serve. And so when I was looking at this, I'm just going to pick our way through this a chapter here. We're going to read the first three verses, look at a couple other verses. My text is going to be from 18 down through 21. But look with me at Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. The Bible says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me." By the way, does this sound familiar today? Rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. Talk about idolatry there. We'll look at that later on. That they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in, notice what God says, the shadow of Egypt. No substance there, just a shadow. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. And then he goes on to mention just some other things there. Look with me at verse 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. That's the word of God. Speaking on down through there, verse 15, thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. But ye said no. So he goes on and on down through this chapter here of just talking about how rebellious they are, how wicked they are, how bent they are going in their own direction, going down to Egypt, going away from the Lord. But then look with me at verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait. Boy, isn't that something? A whole chapter, all the way down through this, rebellious and going your own direction, doing your own thing, heading down to Egypt, looking for all the things, but not looking to God. And then he says, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment, justice there. Blessed are they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious. Now watch this. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. Now remember who he's talking to. He's talking to the rebellious people. He's talking about those going their own direction. But he says, in spite of all of that, I'm waiting for you. And if you'll call on me, I will be there and I will answer thee. Sounds like in Jeremiah as well. And then in verse 20, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, notice those two, adversity and affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. I believe that's the adversity and the affliction that's going to be sent if they don't turn. This is Isaiah, so we're still looking ahead, a future there at Babylon, the captivity there. But here's my verse 21. So we have the teachers, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, so that's looking forward. But verse 21 is going to be my text. We'll pray and jump right into it. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. God's warnings and God's waitings. I believe that God is still warning America today, but I also believe God is gracious and God is waiting. There's many times you'll hear a lot of preachers saying that I think America's too far for revival, and I think it's, you have to go back to the Old Testament. There's a lot of Nineveh. There's a lot of folks that was a long way off, but yet God did something for them. And I believe God will do something if we would just turn to Him. God is able. Amen? So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then let me get my watch off here. I can't see that one back there, so we're in good shape. Our Father in heaven, we sure do love you. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for mercy. God, just the afternoon, looking over some things, when Brother Vinoy asked about tonight, and Lord, even at home, God, I can't help but think how many times you waited for me. How gracious you were even after I was saved. God, how gracious you were and merciful to me. Things that I have done, knowing that presumptuous sin spoken of in the Old Testament, God, that's still alive today. Knowing to go in a direction is wrong, but yet choosing to go anyway. Yet, God, how you waited. I wonder, God, tonight, if you're waiting for someone tonight. Someone that is wayward, someone that's indifferent. God, tonight, would you have your way? Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your goodness to us. And our Father, I pray that you'd manifest yourself to us tonight through the Scriptures. We want to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing that I see here in the Scripture here, verse 21, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. So we see here that the teachers were before them, the warnings are before them, but we have here a voice that is behind them. In other words, their back is to the Lord. They're going in their direction, but the Lord is behind them, and so I see here a certain position. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. We'll look at the other portion of the Scripture there, but just that one thought here, a certain position here. Notice, first of all, going back to the rebellious children and wandering away and going to Egypt, the first thing that I see here in this certain position is a position of disobedience. Why? Their backs are to the Lord. Their backs are to the Lord here. The Lord is going after the sinner, or the sinner is going away from the Lord. The sinner here going towards Egypt here, the children of God here going towards Egypt here, he said that they walk in verse 2 to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. So they're going away from God. They're going in a pathway that is not going to be good for them. The sinner is hastening away from truth, from light, and from the Lord's will for them. And folks, whenever you and I go away from God, I promise you, it's not going to end up well. It never does. It's never going to. It didn't there and hasn't in the past, and it will not with you and I today. And so we see here a path going to their own way. Friend, let me just ask you to examine your life, your way without God. I've been there, and I can tell you, how are we doing? It wasn't good, and it wasn't fun. It was very costly and very, very, very destructive along the way. Can I say I'm still carrying stuff to this day in my mind and scars and to this day that happened 32 years. I've been saved going on 32 years and way back there, but it's still with me today. Can I tell you, it still haunts me today. The things in my mind I wish wasn't there that'll come up in all the wrong places, if you know what I mean. And so we have to be careful of the habits there. I'm doing a thought on temptation right now, but we gotta have to be careful of those temptations and the habits that we bring, because those are roads directly to the mind and the mind directly to the heart. So the more those things you have in your life, temptations will use those roadways, those pathways directly to the mind and to the heart. Amen. If we're not careful there, we're going to have to struggle with them and deal with them. You young people here tonight, be careful of the habits that you establish. The things that you bring into your mind, because they're pathways directly to that all the rest of your life. And so we see here this pathway. You're going away from the Lord. A path of disobedience will only lead you into bondage and habits of destruction and wickedness. That's a wrong path. So we see here a certain position, a position of disobedience here. Another thing, because I want to get to the positive thing here, but another one is a position of defiance. They knew about Egypt. God had warned them all through this chapter here, a position of defiance. Defiance means a daring or resistance that implies the contempt of an adversary or of any opposing power. Men often transgress the law and act in defiance of the authority of it. And that's exactly what they said here in verse 9. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. They knew it. They had heard it. They had been taught it. They had followed it all the way through. But here they're saying that they will not hear the law of the Lord. They will not hear the word of God. And again, church, I'm telling you, even as saved people, if you and I will not hear the word of the Lord, I'm telling you, we're heading for destruction. We're heading for trouble here. So it's a position of defiance. They knew it was the word of God, but yet they still said, that presumptuous sin, they still said, I will go my way. I'm going to do my own thing. We got a whole crowd today doing their own thing. A whole generation doing their own thing. Notice the voice behind you is calling you to turn back, to turn around. But in defiance, you went your own way, knowing that it was a wrong way. So we see here a certain position, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. It's a position of disobedience. It's a position of defiance. It's a position, listen to me, it's a position of deception. Deception. Back to verses 1 and 2. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, that's the covering that mentions a little further on, I believe that talking about in verse 22, that you shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver and ornament of the molten images of gold. So it's talking about idolatry here, these coverings here going in there. So, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. A position of deception. The sinner that leaves the right paths will find the world, listen to me, the world will offer you many other paths to go down. Many other paths to go down. I've used the illustration before. Brother Vinoy's been with me a long time back, but I had some footprints that I used to put on the ground here before I was saved, that the sin would call me in this direction. And pretty soon, at first, it was just come this way and have fun and come this way. But when you get there, you find out that was a lie. But there's another pathway, another foot there that says, well, no, you got to come here. And you find out that that's a lie. And then here, and pretty soon you find out that's a lie. But what it's doing here is at first it's calling you. First it's calling you. But you get past a certain point and it's no longer calling you any longer. It's demanding you. Because now you've created a habit. Now you've created a sinful nature, a part of that. And now it's no longer, well, wait a minute. I've got a wife and two kids. Tough. You should have thought about that way back then. Now you're going in this direction. And that's exactly how the world operates here. You're going in there, but I'm telling you, it's a pathway, it's a position of deception. It'll never, ever come out the way it's promised to do. It's always a lie. Each step is just another lie, taking you further down and further down, and pretty soon at the end of that crowd, you look back at my life, you look back at my life at 18 years old, and you would not even recognize the same person. That's how far this world will take you. It's a deceiving way. Oh, it seems like it's going to work out. Oh, it seems fun at first, but it never ends up fun. By the time I was out, I don't know why I'm getting on me, but by the time I was down there, all the friends were gone. Family was gone. Wife gone. Kids gone. House gone. Job's gone. Nobody there. Oh, it didn't start out that way. It started out, come this way and you'll have fun. It didn't show you the whole picture there. So that this whole position here, anything to do with Egypt, you always know that. I'm sure your preacher's told you. It's always a sign, a picture of the world there. And so they're going down there thinking that they're going to get strengthened, thinking that they're going to have strength from the opposition coming there. But God says, whoa, whoa, don't go that direction. Here's a warning from God. The world will make sure that you stay confused while you march on in your rebellion. Always. It's interesting that as you go in that pathway, how the world or how the devil or Satan or sin, whatever you want to put there, has somebody along that way to encourage you to go further down. There's always somebody there to encourage you to go a little further down. Egypt will take care of you, give counsel to you, will satisfy you. No, every one of those are lies. Egypt will not take care of you. God calls them a shadow. God calls them, there's no strength there. It's just a shadow to your confusion. And that's all this is. It's a position of deception here. Egypt is calling you, sinner, paths of deep sin, paths of unnatural sin, dark paths, paths found in the world. Egypt says this is good for you, enjoy this, but I'm telling you, it's all deception and it's all a lie. You'll never ever gain anything by going to the world. The world is not your friend. And so it's a position of deception here. And then it's a position of danger. You're going the wrong way, friend. God is warning the children of Israel here, you're going the wrong way. And God, if you and I would keep to the Bible, keep to the church, listen to your pastor, there's danger when you and I follow the world and get away from the Word of God. Every single time. So you're going the wrong way, following the world. This is the way, but it's leading you into darkness. You all know the verse there, Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so this certain position here, I see God is warning them about going down to Egypt and going in their pathway here, but God is warning them not to go in that way, that certain position. Their backs are to the Lord. They're going away from Him. But here's where I want to finish up here. We might be even a little early here, but notice a certain privilege. A certain privilege. Look with me back to verse 21, Isaiah 30, 21. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, and then we'll look at this. This is the way, walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left. Notice that phrase there again. Thine ears shall hear. A certain privilege. What do you talk about, Brother Napper, here? Well, the Lord is still calling. Amen. The Lord is still calling. They didn't deserve, after all, you read the whole chapter there, time after time after time after time, all the way through the book of Isaiah. Reason to come. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, over and over and over and over again. How many of us, some of them in this room maybe tonight, God has dealt with you, God has dealt with you, God has dealt with you, God has been gracious, God has been long-suffering, and yet tonight God is still waiting for you. But you ought to thank the Lord for that, still waiting for you. What a good God. What a gracious God here. The Lord is still calling you. And so I see here, first of all, a word of conviction. Again, He calls. He continues to speak to you. I put some things here, and you have to forgive me of my thinking here, but I think inmates and in prison here, but you're still alive. Another message, another opportunity. I don't know who it is in the room tonight, but I wonder if God has warned you. God has continued to warn you and warn you and warn you. Maybe He's speaking to you tonight. But I do want to point out how good God is and how gracious God is here, the certain privilege that they were enjoying here. Why? Because it says here in our verse there, in verse 18, and therefore will the Lord wait. What a good God. What a gracious God. I thought about some of the men that we dealt with, Brother Noy, and I thought about some of them that were convicted, that were saved, that we had dealt with. And I started thinking about some of them that still had a heart that was able to feel. because we have seen others that were beyond. Their heart was so hard and calloused. I'm not saying they were beyond, but according to the scriptures, a heart can get to that point. But here the Lord is still calling. So I thought about a heart still able to feel. I thought about a conscience that was still able to feel. I'm thinking of emotions able to be moved. I'm thinking of some of them. One of them I give testimony to in Delaware years and years back. And Myrna's heard it a number of times, but I can't help but think about him. Every time I think about, he was a big guy. He was probably 6'4 or so. We had already worked our way down visiting all the blocks there and came to the end there. And I could see him waiting there, and I thought, well, here we go. We're going to have some trouble with this guy here. And so I came up to him. In fact, it's this Bible still. I've had it put together several times. I told Myrna I'm going to have to do something because my pages fell out the other day, and I taped them in. But I got down to him, big guy here, and had a smart aleck reputation, smart aleck attitude and everything. And so I got to him, and he didn't want to hear anything. He just wanted to argue. So I turned around and started walking away. Well, that got him mad. Hey, preacher, I'm not done with you. I'm not done with you. Where are you going? And I kept walking. And he said, hey. And I turned around and I said, sir, I don't want to talk to your reputation. If there's somebody still in there that will talk, I'll talk to you. But if not, I'm turning around walking away. And I turned to walk away, and he says, what do you want to talk about, preacher? And I turned and went back, and in John chapter 3 of this Bible, he was above me. The tears began to fall on my Bible as I began to read the Word of God. Tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tears began to fall on my Bible here, the pages here. What are you talking about? I'm saying here that I'm glad that there were still some emotions in there that was still able to reach by the Holy Spirit of God. Conviction still was in there, the able there. But there are some that their conscience is beyond that. Their emotions are beyond that. But here, there's a certain privilege that God is still calling to them. Thank God for that. A word of conviction here. I thought about a heart able to feel. I thought about a conscience still able to feel. Emotions able to be moved. I thought about a privilege that it is for the Holy Spirit of God to still deal with a heart that maybe have turned away from Him time after time after time after time. But yet one more time, one more preacher goes by. One more message is preached to them. One more tract is given to them. I say, church, that's a good God. That's a gracious God. He doesn't have to do that. We've all heard the gospel, but there's nations and people all around this world that have never heard the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the privilege of time after time after time hearing the Word of God, getting the tracts in there, having somebody pray for you. I tell you, church, what a certain position that was in. What a good God. What a good God. A word of conviction here. Notice it is a word of correction. The Bible says, not this way. Don't go that way. You're going the wrong direction here. Not that way, this way. Can I tell you, it's a whole different subject here. We can go a little further here. But can I tell you, we all know that there's only one way to salvation, correct? And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. We all know that. But do we also know that there's only one way to live? Amen. We always say, well, there's only one way to be saved, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is true. But can I tell you, these pages also tell us there's only one way to live, and that's through the Scriptures. That's through the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit of God leading and guiding and directing here. So it's a word of correction. I'm glad that the Word of God corrected our lives, Myrna and I and our family, and turned us around. I'm glad there was a different way to live than I was raised. A word of correction. And then I see a word of confidence here. The way is the right way. You and I can tell the guys in prison, I can tell churches as we travel, that if you would put your life in line with the Holy Spirit of God, the Scriptures, I can promise you, you'll never be drunk again. 100% guarantee. Oh, how can you guarantee that? Because if you follow this, it'll never lead you in that direction. I can guarantee you 100% delivery from any drug you want, any opioid, anything you want. How can you guarantee that? Follow the scriptures. It'll never lead you in that direction. I can go down the list of your homes and how to live and how to be a father, how to be a son, how to be a friend, how to be a son, all those things. I can guarantee it'll work. Why? Because it's the scriptures. It's the Word of God. The Word of God will never fail. And so it's a right way. It's a certain way, a sure way. It's a right way. Abandon your way and follow the Lord. So I see a certain privilege here that the Lord is still calling. And then lastly here, I see the Lord is still willing to bless you. Drop down with me to verse 22. We're in Isaiah 30, verse 22. I can't go through all of these and read it, but notice what it says here, verse 22. Ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Notice this, thou shalt cast them away. Let's talk about your idols. Let's talk about anything that you put before the Lord, which is an idol here. Cast them away. Strong language here, but as minster's cloth there, thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. Now watch that. So God says, I want you to get away from everything that defiles. Get away from that. Get rid of it. You follow me? Clean your heart up, church. Get right with the Lord. And then notice the next word. Then. So after you get all that done, after you get rid of your idols, after you turn to the Lord, after you hear His call, notice what He says. Then shall He give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, the bread of increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous, and in that day shall thou cattle. And you can go down and read all through it. What am I saying here? I'm saying that the Lord is still willing to bless you if you'll turn to Him. Your backs are too. You're going off into Egypt. Don't do that. Don't go that way. That's a pathway of destruction here. But if you'll turn and get rid of that and clean your heart out and get rid of the idols there, then I'm still not only able to convict and talk to you, but I'm still able to bless you. I want to bless you. God wanting to bless you and I, church, if we would just follow Him and go in His direction. And so I see here, the first one that we read from 22 down through 26, I didn't read all of those, but the blessings from the Lord. And then notice verse 27 here. Verse 27, it says, Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning the anger, talk about those that are coming against Him, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation and His tongue as a devouring fire. He's talking about those enemies that are coming towards them. He's saying, if you'll turn to Me, I'll take care of your enemies. The church, did you hear that? That He'll take care of our enemies. The Lord will overthrow your enemies. Those enemies that would harm you. Those enemies that would bring you into bondage and slavery. Those things, those habits and everything, can I tell you, we cannot go through them, face them in and of ourselves. I was thinking about some things. I'm doing some things on temptation. It made me think. I don't remember if Vinoy would know Scotty. He probably wouldn't. I don't remember his last name, but he was in Huntington for a number of years. In fact, I met him when he was 28 years old. He got out of prison, got back in. I knew he was in prison there at Huntington. He wouldn't come to the chapel. I had to send some guys to get him. And he's from Pittsburgh. He never made it down to my church. And I called him back and I said, what are you doing here? Oh, Brother Napper, you don't know how hard it is out there and everything. And so I got on him a little. And I haven't seen him for a number of years. But we were just up in Forest, first time in four and a half years. And guess who I saw? There he is. I called him over there. I said, what in the world are you doing here? And he says, oh, Brother Napper, I only got 2 years. I said, Scotty, how old are you? He said, 43. I said, Scotty, I knew you when you were 28. Now you're talking about getting out at 45. I said, does it ring a bell? Does it make any sense to you? Over half of your life is already gone, in and out. What do you mean it's only 2 years? He still doesn't get the steps of sin. I call that life on installment, just in and out for a couple of years and back in. Well, what are you talking about? I'm saying to Scotty, I'm saying to you and I, if you and I would turn to Him, He'll take care of those enemies. I looked up the word resist this morning before we got on the road from James. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now that resist there is not that in and of our own strength. Can we all understand that? And so I'm thinking of some things. Your pastor probably helped me or sent some before. He thinks a lot quicker than I do. But that resistance there, that's not in our own strength. That resistance, we've got the promise of the Holy Scriptures. Amen? The truth is found in the Scriptures. The truth will set you free. We've got not only the promise of the Scriptures, but we've got the partnership of the Holy Spirit. We've got the help that is needed. We've got the partnership of the Holy Ghost of God. I'm telling you that resistance there has a foundation that it lays on. And that's what he's talking about here. God says, if you'll come to me, I'll take care of your enemies. You don't have to face them alone. Well, that got quiet. But that's true. We have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing it, but do we live it? The blessings from the Lord. The Lord will overthrow your enemies. The Lord, look at verse 29. Isaiah 30, 29. And you shall have a song as in the night. Can I tell you, the Lord will put a new song in your heart. Gladness of heart. Egypt could never do that. Egypt will not put a song in your heart. Egypt is never going to put gladness in your heart. It'll put a lot of bondage, a lot of heartache, a lot of destruction there, but it'll never be a glad heart. The Lord will put a new song in your heart, a desire to hear His voice again. Remember, they're turning now. They're turning to the Lord now. No longer a rebel. Not only hear a way, but walk in it. And then, so I see here that the certain privilege here that the Lord is still calling, but the Lord is still willing to bless us. And then the last one here, a certain promise. We have a certain promise. As you seek and turn to the Lord, you're going to find Him. He's going to be there. I don't care how far we've gone. I don't care how long we've rebelled. I don't care how the prodigal son, how long he's been away or the cost. And if he's come back with absolutely nothing, the Father is still there waiting. Thank God for that. I'm saying, church, what a good God. What a gracious God. Amen. The Lord will never leave the sinner that obeys the voice. Come unto me. Come unto me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's always there. Not only to the sinner, the unsaved sinner, but to the believing sinner. You say, Brother Napper, you think a believing sinner can get away from the Lord? Oh, yeah. Many of them have. Can I tell you, God is still waiting. Whether it's a sinner that has never come to Him in faith before, He's waiting. And if there is a church member here that's away from the Lord and have gone away and gone astray, can I tell you, He's still waiting. He's a good God. He's a gracious God. The Lord will not refuse anybody that comes to Him. What a good chapter that we have here tonight, and just really a reminder of the goodness of God, the long-suffering of God, the gracious God, the merciful God. And I don't know about you, church, but when Brother Vinoy said tonight that the moment he got saved, that he just wanted, made up his mind, he wanted to bring glory to the Lord. Kind of convicted me. Because there's been certain times in my life since I've been saved that I haven't. But I can say shame on me. But I can also say what a good God waiting for me. What a good God we serve. And so, church, however the Lord used it tonight, I just really wanted to point people to the goodness of God, to the grace of God. The children of Israel warned time after time after time, all the way through that chapter, but yet God says, I'm still waiting for them so I can be gracious to them. So I don't know who it is tonight. Your pastor's going to come and take the invitation, however he wants to close, I know, on a Wednesday night. Folks, we got a good God. I don't care how far we've gone away from Him. I don't care what we've done. There's still a way back. He's still calling, and He's still willing to bless. Let's have every eye closed, every head bowed. as your preacher comes. Father, we sure do love you. God, thank you for being so good, so kind, so gracious and merciful. God, for the times that I've failed you, knowing that I purposely chose to do wrong. Father, thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for cleansing. God, have your way in this invitation. Lead your preacher, however he wants to close the service. Speak to hearts. God, thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.